Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome each and every one who'll be watching by internet today with a wonderful hand of applause in his house. It is good to see each and every one of you, and good to have you watching today by internet. We're going to continue our series on forgiveness. And we're going to start with salvation, then we're going to start with us as individuals, how we look at ourselves, and then how we look at others. So here we go. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, as we take a little review of last week. As we talk about this series of forgiveness, it has to start with salvation. Jesus loves you. If we confess that our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, bathe us, and forget it from all unrighteousness. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, may your grace abound today. May it abound in love, peace, joy, and most definitely forgiveness. Father, may we understand that you love us so much that you are willing to forgive us. Not only to forgive us, but to forget. And to make us righteous in your eyes. Make us righteous in the eyes of God the Father. Father, this is truly our prayer today. Father, we live for you so that others may see Jesus in us, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our words. Father, bless this time together. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we pray. And everyone said, amen. If we confess our sins, we talked about this last week. This is the beginning of the salvation experience. You confess to Jesus and Jesus only. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Faithful and just. It means every time that you confess to Jesus, He's going to be faithful, which means there's not anything you can do that if you will confess it with a true heart and want to do better, that He will not forgive you for. There's only one thing that Jesus will not forgive you for through God the Father is to deny Jesus' existence. If you deny Him, deny His death, deny His resurrection, and deny the fact that He is the Son of God, that will not be forgiven. Other than that, I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what you've said, or who you've hurt. If you truly want to be forgiven, and if you confess it, He will forgive and cleanse us. This cleansing is something that we're going to talk about more when we get into this personal walk. If you're dirty, you have to take a bath. You have to take a shower. You have to use soap. Soup, you have to use soap. If you want to use soup, you can use soup, but try to soap first. These people, they love when I make a mistake. It's not right. I know some people that bathe in soup, thank you. It's all right. And cleanse us. From all, the key word, all unrighteousness. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. He's a new creation. He's reborn again. And old things are passed away. Old things, old life, old way of doing things, the old nature, it's passed away, it's been removed, it's gone, it's dead. Behold, all things become new. You become a new person, a new man, a new woman, a new teenager, new thoughts, new ways. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Reconcile means to make up. Those of you that are married, you ever been in a fight before with your spouse? Raise your hands. Kevin, raise your hands. Raise both hands, Kevin. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. We've all had those kind of days. I live next door to Renee and Carl. I know. Worse than that, though, they live next door to us. And the miracle, they still come to church. It's a miracle. But that's what it is. When you reconcile, you make up. That's what it's about. You have to make up. You can't make up till you forgive. You have to talk it out. You got to confess it. Make it right. Then you're reconciled. You get the picture? All things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. We now have a relationship with God because He's reconciled. He's forgiven us. And when He does that, now we have a relationship with God. Now, look at this. I said I would come back to this last week. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Once you've been forgiven, listen to me very closely. Once you become a Christian, you become a child of God, you get into a church that you love, you get into Sunday school, you get into all the aspects of the church, then you understand that now every person who is a child of God has this ministry. Because here's what it is. Look at it. And has given. Who's given this? Given it to us. Who's us? Everybody who's a child of God. Given you, given me this ministry. Ministry also means responsibility of reconciliation. This means you've been given the ministry to witness. Now, people will say, oh, no, because witness means I got to talk, I got to knock on doors, all that. That is part of it. And if you have that ministry, that is great. But witnessing, reconciling, is that people see that you have a relationship with God. You may not have to speak a word, but how you act, how you carry yourself, how you respond, can show people that you're something different about you. Not better, different. Means I am a child of God. There may be an opportunity where you get to speak on that, and you should. But it's about action. It's a ministry. And it means that you've been given this ministry by Jesus Christ of reconciliation. Most of you are here today because you've been invited. Now, some people just go up and down the highway till they find a church and they pull in. But most people come to church because what? They're invited. You invite people. Or you brag about your church. Or you brag about how lovely it is. How wonderful the people are. You brag about the fact, yes, there are sinners there. Sinners, 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 sinners. If I could point this camera around, I'd show you a ton of sinners. But here's the deal. Not only are there sinners, but they're also saints because they're saved by Jesus Christ. By the fact that you pull up here as a witness. By the fact that people see you get up and leave your house on Sunday morning is a witness. You have the ministry of reconciliation. That means that every time you invite somebody or somebody comes to church, and when they walk in those doors, it doesn't stop. It means this ministry is ongoing even at the time that they walk in this door. How they're welcomed, how they're greeted, how they're hugged, how their hand is shook. How people care. That's called reconciliation. It means you're glad to see them. You miss them when they're gone. We all have this ministry. And we all understand that once we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, no matter where we're at, what we're doing, we're a part of this ministry. By how we live, where we go, how we act, and how we talk. That is the ministry of reconciliation. And everybody here who is a child of God has that ministry. Give the Lord a hand of applause in His house. All right, Brother Larry, let's go to the next scripture, please. Now, I'll take this to part two. Now, this is a scripture that I used not too long ago. Once you're saved, once you've accepted Jesus Christ, once you realize that you have been forgiven, I don't know how many people in my over 30 years of ministry that I have talked to on the phone, in person, emailed, who wants to talk to me about the fact that somehow or another they'll say that they're saved, but they cannot get past their past. They can't get beyond it. It haunts them. But let me tell you who's haunting you. Listen to me very closely. God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit's not haunting you. Because once you ask for forgiveness, they forgot it.
Amen.
Satan will haunt you till the day you die about your past. He'll tell you, Jesus can't love you. You're not worth it. You're useless. No one's going to overlook what you've done. The only reason they like you is because they don't know what you've done. If they knew the true you, they'd kick you out of church. That's all Satan goes through over and over and over and over and over and over in your mind. Next thing you know, you think so much on it, now you begin to believe it. Now I want you to watch closely what the Scripture says. Finally, Paul says in Philippians 4:8, brethren, whatsoever things are, and number one here is true. There's a reason why things are put in Scripture the way it's there, because everything else that follows this is the truth. The truth is, yes, you've got a past. The truth is, you've made some mistakes. The truth is, you've done some things that are wrong. But the truth is, you've accepted Jesus. The truth is, He has forgave you. The truth is, He's forgot what you've done. And the truth is, you need to begin to think on what Jesus has done and not what Satan's trying to do. Look at this with me. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, think. What is the truth? Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I've done some bad things, but Jesus forgave me and I'm trying to do better. I will do better because of His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Whatsoever things are honest. Once you've come to the fact that you're honest with yourself, because Jesus has been honest. He's told you you're a sinner. When you admit that you are a sinner, you're being honest with yourself. Yes, I am a sinner. But I've been forgiven. Mankind may not forgive you. Your spouse may not forgive you. Your children may not forgive you. Your friends may not forgive you. But they're not the ones that died for you. Jesus died for you. And this is what honesty means. I have become honest with Him, and He's honestly told me, I know that you're a sinner, and that's why I died on Calvary's cross, is for you. I didn't die for perfect people. I died for sinners. Give Jesus a hand of applause. Now, once we get past the truth and honest, then we move forward. Whatsoever things are just. What is just? Just means I've been forgiven. I've been justified. That's what we just looked at a while ago. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I've asked for forgiveness. Jesus has forgave me, and He has made me just. Which means I now have the privilege and the power to pray to God Almighty through the name of Jesus Christ. And through that prayer, I can pray to be a better person, an honest person, a just person. And Jesus has forgiven me. God has forgiven me. The Holy Spirit has given me strength to make me a better person. Why? Because where's the end result of all this? So that I can be a witness for Him every day of my life. I'm looking at a bunch of witnesses, not a bunch of sinners. I'm looking at people who want to care about other people and say, I know I've been forgiven. My testimony is I am a sinner. I've done all kinds of things, but Jesus loves me and has made me just. Not because of anything I've done, but because of everything Jesus has done for me.
Amen.
Woo. Yeah, that'll work. whatsoever things are pure. Lord knows we're not pure. God's Word says we're not pure. We don't think pure thoughts. We don't do pure things. But with the help of Jesus Christ, when He changes our lives, we begin to look at what is pure. It's a way that you think. The way that you think is going to make how you act. Because what happens when salvation, when it changes your heart, it begins to change the way you think. You're not thinking impure thoughts now. You're thinking pure thoughts. Yes, you did think impure thoughts in the past. Everybody here has done that. But once I make a change, it begins to change the way I think. Whew. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? It changes me from top to bottom, inside and out. Whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. I'm not a lovely individual. Neither are you. But because Jesus has changed me, I've got the potential to become lovely again. I've got the chance to change how I act. My personality, my attitude. Next thing you know, I can become lovely through the help of Jesus Christ. The meanest of people on this planet, once they accept Jesus Christ, becomes the greatest of witnesses. Why? It's because they've gone from pure meanness to pure loveliness. Their appearance hasn't changed, but what's inside them has changed. And now, a man or a woman who wouldn't have cried for anything cries at the drop of a hat because God has changed them through Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand of applause. And whatsoever things are of a good report. Good report. That's a neat phrase. I want to hear a good report. I want to hear some good things. Let it start with me. You know, it used to be, if I'm unhappy, I want everybody unhappy. Now that I'm happy, I want everybody to be happy. Let's talk about good things. The bad's always there. If you want to dwell on that, we can dwell on that. But it's a choice that you made. People don't like to be around people who are grumpy, aggravating, hateful, mean, nasty, and just all around evil. Do you like that? I don't like that. That's not a good report. That's an old way of life. That's an old report. Let's tear it up. Let's delete it. Let's wash it out. Let's give it a bath. Let's clean it up. Let's go to a good report. Because you see, I've been a bad report before. Now I want to be a good report. Because if I'm a good report, it's sort of like a report card. Those of you remember when you was in school? And I am, thank you. When you bring home a bad report card, what happens? It's bad. It's bad, isn't it? Have any of you ever been given a bad report card? Sometimes we don't even want to come home with it, do we? We just pray the principal won't call. We just pray the teacher won't call because what mama and daddy don't know won't hurt them. But when they find out, someone else is going to hurt. Well, life is full of report cards. You've been walking around flunking D's. Now, something's changed. Now you've got a little smarter. Now you've accepted Jesus. Now you're living for Him. Now come some good grades. It don't happen overnight, but it happens. You become a better person. Because why? You're thinking on Jesus. Why? You're concentrating on Jesus. Next thing you know, it goes from a D to a C. Goes from a C to a B. Then it goes from a B to an A. Why? Because you're thinking. You're acting. And you're responding to the love of God. Oh, there are some good reports. Let's concentrate on the good. Everybody said? Amen. And if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what's this word say?
Worthy.
Think. think. It's all up to you. I can't tell you how to think. I'm not with you 24 hours, 7 days a week. But the one who can tell you how to think is the Holy Spirit. When you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. When you begin to think, that means what? Your mind's on something. What's your mind on today? Is it on a bad report? Is it on bad news? Is it on everything in this world that's bad? Or is your mind on good things? Because see, Satan tries to put you in situations where all you're concentrating on is the bad. And when you're doing that, folks, let me tell you something. That's all you can see in front of you is bad. Bad. You think on these things. You think on these things. You can't get your mind off of them because Satan won't let you. You've got to turn it around yourself. And that says, if there be any virtue or praise, there is virtue. There is praise. But you've got to what? Think. Think on these things. If somebody around you all the time's in a bad mood, then get away. If all they got to think about is bad, then find somebody else. You see, we need some help with this. If you go to a church and all they do is say the bad things, something's wrong. We need to think about the good things. We need to think about the good report. We need to think about the fact that one time I was lost, but now I was saved. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You know why it's sweet? Because you learn to listen. If you don't listen, you don't hear it. You got to think. You got to listen. You got to understand. God loves you. God loves you. Cares for you. Sent His Son. Son died for you. Because of everything that you've done. He went to the grave, a dead person. 3 days later, He arose from the grave. He came back to life. Victory is in the name of Jesus. Not only did He come back to life, He came back to life so that He would be the power to save you. The power to forgive you. The power to lift you up, shake you off, get you together, put you on the right road, on the right path, so that you can think better, love better, enjoy life better. No matter what life throws at you. As I said, last weekend was not a good weekend for our family. Mom was very, very sick. But Mom and Stephanie, myself and Monica, even up there through the midst of all that, found ways to witness to each other and to people who came in that hospital room. No matter what bad there seems to be around you, folks, you concentrate on the good and it will come to the surface. It's up to you. It's up to me. And it's up to you. You make the choice. You make the choice. Because part three of this coming up is very important. Because if I can't get myself right, how am I going to witness to the world? And we're going to talk about this responsibility of witnessing to the world under this subject of forgiveness. Because if the world don't see it in me, the world don't see it in you, they're never going to know that Jesus will forgive. It's all about forgiveness. It begins with you, begins with me. And then it goes around the world. Jesus is coming soon. I promise you. And in these last days, we need our act together. We need a good report. We need to be reconciling. And it needs to begin with me. Let it begin with me. Let the good report begin with me. To understand that all that I am and all that I'll ever will be is because one day I accepted by faith my Lord Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand of applause in His house. Would you bow your heads with me, please? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, we feel your presence in this place. Oh, your grace and your peace are in this place. Father, my prayer is that somewhere we can learn to forgive ourselves. For Father, if we've accepted you, you have forgiven us and you have forgot it. Give us this ministry to forgive and to forget in our lives. To move on. To move forward. To confess it to you. And say, Lord, I want to live for you. I want the ministry of reconciliation. And Father, let it begin in me. To those who may be watching by internet today, first of all, I pray, Father, that they'll ask you for forgiveness. And that, Father, they'll ask you for salvation. For, Father, you freely give it. Freely give it to each and every one that will simply bow their heads and ask and say, Father, forgive me. I am a sinner in need of salvation. Will you forgive me this hour? And he will do it. No matter where you're at, what you're doing, day or night, whatever the sin, he will forgive it. And then ask him to give you the strength to overcome and to live a Christian life. To all within the sound of my voice, if there be one here today, Father, who needs a quiet time at this altar, may they come. May they find peace. May they find joy at this altar of love and grace and peace and forgiveness. Father, it's our prayer today that God's people will be renewed in your presence. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?